Scout.
For the Giants, there is a lot more to be optimistic about in 2019.
The team.
Here's Barkley off the hesitation. Inside the five, still going. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley.
The Saquon Barkley, the real heartbeat of that team.
Manning throws, end zone, touchdown, Sterling Shepard.
He's shown the ability to make big plays.
As Manning fires to Rhett Ellison for a Giants touchdown to the tight end.
Whoa, who said you need Evan Ingram? We got Rhett Ellison.
Purdue, Jones, just enough time to get it away. Middle of the field, to the end zone.
I'll tell you this, Daniel Jones is much better under pressure than Dwayne Haskins. That is a fact.
A deflection right there by the Giants, and the defensive line changes the trajectory of that, and now it's a pick six for the Giants.
The Giants don't have any pass rushers. Well, you may want to scout the players that are on that roster.
Manning going end zone again, this time for Lattimore. He balls it in! Touchdown!
You give Eli Manning protection, he turns into a much better NFL quarterback. You don't protect him, he turns pedestrian. I'm Steve the Scout, and you are listening to Scouting Giants. Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of Scouting Giants, a no-nonsense podcast that goes into the nitty-gritty of what we want to know about our Giants players. How do they look on the field? What can we expect from them? And giving you a breakdown of all of those players. There are a lot of good Giants podcast out there. I listened to a few of them myself, but I wanted to put something out there that really is my bread and butter, which is scouting players. I myself got my education through the Scouting Academy, learned from some very smart guys in the business on how to scout all the positions in the game. And, the past few years, I've been involved, in radio, but specifically my own show, the Pro Football Scouting Show, and now really want to focus on specifically my team, your team, the New York Giants. So with that being said, I am also the CEO of a company called PigskinNut.com. It is a hardcore football website where we give you coverage on anything and everything. And then outside of PigskinNut.com, we have PigskinNutRadio.com. And look, PigskinNutRadio.com, Scouting Giants is a part of that. And this is the soon-to-be undisputed king of football radio. So check us out. And again, those websites are PigskinNut.com and PigskinNutRadio.com. I'm telling you, in 6 months, and it's even starting to shape that way right now, this is going to be one of the mainstream sources of football information and really one of the most complete sites out there in terms of reporting and analyzing the game. So, I'm doing a series right now where I'm just giving you scouting reports on as many Giants players as I can heading into the season, because this is what we all want to know. We all want to know what can we expect from our players going forward. So with that being said, the guy I want to focus on today is our rookie quarterback, Daniel Jones. The general consensus that I think Giants fans had after Daniel Jones got drafted, was that, hey, we reached for the pick. He was a day two guy. And then it's been slowly starting to change to, hey, this guy is doing really good in OTAs. Let's hold off judgment. Let's wait until we get him on the field. And, he still got booed at Yankee Stadium and all that stuff. There's still a lot of guys that have a problem with the pick, but I think you're seeing more people warming up to, hey, the guy's done good in OTAs. We're hearing really good things. We're hearing from guys like Evan Ingram and, other guys that he could be capable of running the offense on day one. And you're also hearing, is there going to be a QB competition between him and Eli Manning? I'll say this, Eli Manning, he's definitely going to be, he's going to be on a short leash with Daniel Jones there. He really is. If he struggles, And, you know, Daniel Jones comes in and plays really well. That will be the end of Eli New York. Ultimately, I think this will be Eli's last year. I do think Eli is still a good NFL quarterback. I think that has been, the general consensus is that he's terrible now. And I'll tell you, if you go back and look at his tape and context on a play-by-play basis, you'll see that a lot of it really, really wasn't his fault. But look, Eli, he's always been a good quality, very smart NFL quarterback. He's been elite maybe a year or two, but that's really it. And Daniel Jones, you know, is coming in now. And I think Giants fans were thinking, well, are we getting another carbon copy of Eli Manning? To me, he actually looks a little more like Matt Ryan than he does Eli Manning, a little more of a mobile Matt Ryan. And that's what you're hoping he could be, because at the end of the day, he could be as bad as Blake Bortles, but he could be as good as Matt Ryan. And today what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through my scouting report on Daniel Jones and kind of giving you the way I've analyzed him after watching six games on Daniel Jones at Duke, including the game against Clemson, where, you know, he essentially went against an NFL offensive line with one of the worst. I'm sorry, he went against a starting NFL defensive line, while his offensive line was really one of the worst in college football last year. But look, Jones, you know, he was drafted by the Giants sixth overall, three-year starter with the Blue Devils. Yeah, he was groomed by David Cutcliffe, who coached Eli and Peyton Manning, and he learned a lot more pro-style concepts there. You know, he didn't have, you know, overly impressive numbers, but, you know, if you look at his tape in context and you know how to scout the position, it's not that difficult to see why a team would view him as a day one pick. What does he do really well? He's smart. That's first and foremost. He's smart. He's wise beyond his years in terms of making pre-snap adjustments, picking up the blitz. There's really a lot that he had to be accountable for in that offense because of the way Cutcliffe runs it. So that certainly, you know, his intelligence was definitely on display. And from everything you hear, from the news on him with the Giants to what his coaches said, he's a fast learner. And he's a guy that really easily absorbs information, and he wants to absorb information. You look, he cut his vacation time early, so he could focus on the playbook and get ready to play his rookie year. Mechanically, there's a lot to like about him as well. Really good feet work inside the pocket. Knows how to move, shuffle, you know, slide in the pocket. And, you know, climbs the pocket very nicely. And he's a good athlete. There's so much of a comparison to Eli Manning, but to me, he's a far better athlete than Eli Manning. You see, certainly a lot faster. I think Giants fans, you know, they wanted Dwayne Haskins because they didn't want this, you know, I'm going to say it, you know, a big doofy white quarterback, which they feel like they've had, but, look, Daniel Jones, he's faster than Dwayne Haskins. You know, look at their 40 time, look at their college tape. In terms of speed, he's faster. So in terms of on the run, he's going to give you a lot more upside than Eli Manning did. And, you know, what's different about him than Dwayne Haskins, to Daniel Jones' credit, is that, you know, Dwayne Haskins, despite having the gaudy numbers that he had, you could see on tape that, you know, if he wasn't getting protected and things weren't working around him, his play significantly dropped. What I'll tell you with Daniel Jones is that despite, you know, having a bad offensive line and bad receivers, they were really bad, some of the worst in the country, he always remained a pretty highly functional quarterback without that talent around him, which is different than what you see, what I saw from Dwayne Haskins and what I saw from Eli Manning. He has really good, superb field vision, really good field vision, and he knows where all of his weapons are. I mean, that's so key to the NFL, and a big reason probably why the Giants drafted him that early is that he has a good feel where all of his weapons are, something that, you know, obviously, you know, you get when you're groomed in David Cutcliffe's offense. He always knows where he needs to go with the ball. Now, getting the ball out on time, that's a different story. But he typically knows where he needs to go with the ball. He will force it into coverage. He absolutely will force it into coverage, make some bad decisions. But overall, he knows where he needs to go with the ball. Doesn't have a ton of arm strength, but I'll tell you this, I think his arm is going to get stronger the more he's in the league. And, you know, he's more of a guy that he's more of a strong arm thrower than a fastball thrower. He can throw a fastball, but, you know, when you talk about his arm strength, it's more so what he can do with the deep ball. He can throw 60 plus yards downfield, hit a guy in stride, but in terms of, you know, delivering the fastball, he can do it. But, you know, there's a lot of guys in the NFL that throw with more zip. You always want to see your quarterback keep your eyes downfield. You know, that was one of my criticisms with Kyler Murray, is that when things broke down, you know, he just didn't keep his eyes downfield. Not with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones always had his eyes downfield, and his feet were always moving, which is something that, look, you really like to see that. And they always talk about these great NFL quarterbacks. Their eyes are always downfield. And look, he's, you know, one of the reasons I think they took him, that he's a good fit for New York, is, you know, you want someone that has a little bit more of that unflappable personality type, someone who's a hard worker, a leader, and not necessarily an overly, you know, vocal, emotional guy. I think, you know, in that regard, you know, he's definitely a little more like Eli Manning. And look, he was able to handle a lot of, you know, the bad stuff that came his way in New York. And you know, like Eli Manning, and I think maybe even Daniel Jones more, Daniel Jones loves to be coached. As a football coach, you love a player that loves to be coached. And from everything, you know, you hear in terms of his interactions with Peyton Manning, calling him every single week, what I heard about, you know, his involvement in terms of working with Peyton, from what David Cutcliffe said to what you're hearing, this is a guy that likes to work hard and loves to be coached. And I think, you know, there's things he's going to have to work on. There's definitely things he has to work on, but he should improve a lot with coaching. He really should. He's accurate. He's accurate at all levels of the field. And what's another thing, a plus over him over Dwayne Haskins, is that he maintains that accuracy with defenders in his face. You know, when Dwayne Haskins can't set his feet and was getting a lot of pressure, his accuracy, you know, would fade a little bit, where I didn't see that as much with Jones. Jones has a great feel for when pressure is coming, and he knows when to take off running. You want a guy that can use his legs, but he's a pocket first passer, and that's what he is. And, you know, you talk about some of the, you know, the pro ready skills, his ability to look off and freeze defenders with his eyes and bait guys. You know, those are all things that he can do. So mentally, he brings a lot to the game. And again, you know, with his throwing, you know, he can throw the fastball. He's definitely, when you look at his arm and think about it being strong, it's more so down the field, but he's a very nice touch thrower. So when he has to throw with touch, you know, a back shoulder fade, you know, he really is one of the very, very good touch throwers that I saw in the draft this year. What does he not do so well? Again, you know, he's got a good arm. He's got a good arm, but you know, I wouldn't necessarily say it's great. I am going to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to come right back. We're going to talk a little more about, you know, Daniel Jones' weaknesses and you know, some of the things that he'll have to improve on here. We'll be right back on Scouting Giants. All right, guys, I am back here on Scouting Giants. And again, I'm your host, the voice of the show, Steve the Scout Fishkin. And, you know, I'm here breaking down Daniel Jones, talking about giving him a scouting report, you know, really going through what he does well to this point. Now we're going to focus on some of the weaknesses, because when you are a scout, you know, you do want to find what a player does well. That's your first job, is you need to find out what a guy does well. When you look at the New England Patriots, what makes them so successful is they find what they do well, and they really tap into that. But Daniel Jones, like most players, you know, he's got, like pretty much all players, he's got some weaknesses. I talked about his arm. You know, he's got it. There's a lot of times where I feel he's got to fire the ball in there faster. You know, that's why I say he's got a good arm, but not a great arm. I think his arm will get stronger over time. But you know, again, you know, he doesn't have the zip. The ball doesn't scorch off of his hands like a Dwayne Haskins, like a Kyler Murray, or like a Drew Lock. Last year, you know, he had a lot of balls batted down at the line of scrimmage. A lot of it was because, you know, you saw defenders in his face. But, you know, there were things in terms of his windup and his release point that I thought did affect him. Those will be things that, you know, he'll have to clean up. I watched six games of Daniel Jones, and virtually every single game I watched, he made at least one really highly questionable throw. Typically, you know, throwing it into double coverage or just not seeing something. And you know, despite having good field vision, you know, he made some bad judgment calls. And I think, you know, that's something that he's gonna have to clean up. It's something that certainly could follow him into the NFL. And again, it just seems like, you know, every game I watched, and I watched six of them, that, you know, there's always a very, very suspect throw in there. I think, you know, looking at, you know, his throwing mechanics, his feet work are really good. His throwing mechanics are good, but, you know, his throwing mechanics, they cause him to have a slower, and I would say a slower than desired release. And, you know, that's going to have to be addressed by his coaches. And again, I think that's part of the reason for the batted balls. That's part of the reason that's taking too long, you know, to get to the receiver. So I think, you know, in terms of his windup, he has a very small windup, and sometimes that can be hurtful. And we'll see what his coaches do for that. But I think in terms of, you know, when you talk about, you know, the best way to measure arm strength, it's load to arrival, which means if you're a right-handed quarterback, from the time your left hand comes off the ball to the time it gets into your receiver's hands, whether that be Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, or whoever, how long does it take? He's going to have to speed that up. He's going to have to speed that up. And I think he can, by fixing his throwing mechanics. So there's room to improve there. He has upside again to really get his arm stronger. And you know, the other thing that I'll say is that, you know, besides the release, he still holds on to the ball too long at times. There are times when, you know, I just see that, like, he has a guy open and he doesn't release it when he should. And he sometimes waits, takes an extra second. And, you know, with not having really elite zip on the ball, that could get him into trouble. And that's something that's concerning. But again, you know, these are really all things that, you know, these are things that can be improved on. You know, he has a lot of stuff that's going to translate to the NFL. Yes, you know, he's unproven in terms of production as a player. I think he would have had far better stats. He would have had far better stats, you know, had he been in the Ohio State offense, obviously. And I'm sure if Dwayne Haskins went to play to Duke, his stats would be different as well. But at the end of the day, there's still not the production there. And look, here's the bottom line. Like I said before, Daniel Jones, he can be as good as Matt Ryan, because when Matt Ryan came in the league, not strong arm, big, like Daniel Jones, big body, strong arm. But, you know, he, big body, strong arm, But, you know, he's been an NFL MVP and someone who Matt Ryan could be a Hall of Famer one day, but he could be as bad as Blake Bortles. I think, again, you know, he has a lot of really good qualities. I think with coaching, he's only going to get better. If he can get better, I think he can develop into a top 15, maybe even a top 10 NFL quarterback. Because look, at the end of the day, you know, we don't know exactly how smart he will be and what he'll be able to do with his mind, because we look at the top quarterbacks in the NFL today, you know, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, you know, a lot of these guys don't have elite throwing arms, but what they do have is they do have elite minds. And I think that's one of the key reasons why the New York Giants drafted Daniel Jones. So that's going to wrap up everything we have for today. Stay tuned on the next episode of Scouting Giants. I'm going to be breaking down another scouting report, because these are all scouting reports that I'm doing, especially up until the season. But up next, we're going to do it on rookie cornerback DeAndre Baker, up next on Scouting Giants.